Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to continue in the same vein that we've been in all morning this morning about the faithfulness of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 24, you probably have one of the most simplest statement concerning God and Him being faithful to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 24. It's so short and sweet, I think it would be helpful if we all read it together. All right? Can we do that today? All right, here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24 tells us what? Faithful is he that calleth you that also will do it. Who also, I even messed it up right there. So simple and short and sweet, I messed it up. All right? Let's try it again. Okay, here we go. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. You know, one of the attributes of God that all of us enjoy and know and realize is that God is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you that also will do it. The Bible says in over one passage, I think it's describing the unfaithfulness of man and how man is just, he's back and forth, he wavers, he teeter-totters. But I like what it says. It says, but God is faithful. Amen? But God is faithful. And I tell you what, I don't care what man does, your wife does, your husband does, your boss does. Even whenever Jacob's wages were changed over 10 times, the Bible says, he found what? That God was faithful. God was good, and had not God been with me, he said, had it not been God, the Lord, had been with me, I'd have been ruined. I'd have been out. I'd have been done for. And I tell you, that's the testimony, I believe, of many of us that are saved here today. That if it hadn't been for God and his faithfulness, we'd be ruined. We'd be done for. We'd be over with. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you that also will do it. So I've got a couple of questions for you today. First one is this, who is faithful? Who is faithful? I think that's a very obvious question, obvious answer. It is God. Second question is this, who knows he is faithful? And that is answered in the second portion of the verse where it says, there faithful is he that calleth you. Those that are called, those that have been found in Him, in Christ. And so we'll see the answers to these questions today through the Word of God. Number one, who is faithful? That's easy to answer. God is faithful. David said these words. He said, thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Jeremiah said it like this, great is thy faithfulness. And even when we don't believe, even when as Christians and believers, sometimes it seems like our faith runs a little short. Sometimes it seems like our faith, it's a not quite there. Amen? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt some doubt, some denial, some absence? Felt like maybe you had probably perhaps let the Lord down? Aren't you glad that it's not even by our own faith that we live and that we're saved? Amen. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20 tells us what? It is by the faith of who? The Son of God. Even it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13, he says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. To be faithful means to be simply to be trustworthy. God can be trusted. He is sure. He can be believed. God is faithful and first and foremost because he is a person in which we can totally put all of our trust in. And I think one part and one reason why sometimes unbelievers have a hard time trusting God is they've had so many other people that have put them down, they have lost confidence in. They have no confidence in anybody else. Some people even sometimes have a hard time calling God their father because they've had a terrible father. They've had a terrible father figure, and they see this father figure, and they say, well, how can he be a heavenly father? Look what my father did to me. But I'll tell you this, God is not a man. In that sense, God is not a man. That he can lie. Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19 states for us that he cannot lie. It says very plainly, it says God is not a man that he should lie. Even Hebrews states it stronger and says that it is impossible for God to lie. How many of you have been cheated before? You've ever been given a bad deal? A bad run in life? Anybody ever lied to you? Amen? Have you ever had these problems? Have you run into these things before? Maybe even your own children have done these things to you, haven't they? Perhaps they have. But you know what? God never does. God never lies. God's completely and totally trustworthy. What he says, he will do. Faithfully is he that calleth you, who also will, as it plainly says, do it. He will do it. You can trust him for it. You can believe him for it. You can rest assured that if God says it, he will do it. Used to be an old bumper sticker. It said that God, I believe the Lord. I believe God. It was coming up with the idea that if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. But you know what? If God said it, that ought to be the end of it. Whether you believe it or not, my friend, whether you're today, maybe you're sitting here today and you're maybe unsure about Christianity, maybe you're unsure about God, maybe you're unsure about this whole Heavenly Father thing that you hear us talking about sometimes. You say, well, I just don't believe those things. I just can't handle those things. Well, you know what, my friend? God is still God, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't change the fact. You can believe that the sky is green and the grass is blue, but it doesn't change the fact that the grass is green and the sky is blue, my friend. God is still God, no matter what we think, or no matter what we do, or no matter what is happening in our lives. It settles it because God said it. God said it. That's it. It's over with. He cannot lie. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 10. So to not believe him, to not consider him trustworthy and to be sure, is actually, you are calling God a liar. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 10. You're real close to it. You could turn there over to it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 10. Listen what it says. God cannot lie, but if you will not believe God, if you will not put your trust and faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what you're doing? You're calling God a liar. You're calling God a liar. You're saying he is a liar. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 10 teaches us these words. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You see, the people that are in the world today that do not believe and do not trust in Jesus Christ, they do not sit in a service like this, and they do not relate with the song that the lady sang, that God is good. They're not able to relate with hymn number 441, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and of the love and the mercy and the grace of God. They're not able to relate with that. They're not able to say that God is good, God is faithful, God is an awesome God. And so in doing, they look at God and they point to him and they say, God, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar, God. But God is not a man that he can lie. He is a God to be trusted, to be believed in. So it's unquestionable that we should trust him. I love what he even says, for let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Let every single one of us here in the auditorium today be considered a liar. And let God be true. We must believe that God can be trusted, that he is faithful, and that he's going to do exactly what he says. So to be faithful means to be trustworthy. But what is the evidence? It can not only be said that God is faithful and trustworthy, but he undeniably proves that fact also. It should be enough, and it could be enough, no doubt, that God could say, I'm a man, I do not lie. And we should automatically believe, because why? Because he is sovereign God. That's who he is. And if God said it, that's it. It's over with. It's done. But God is so good to us that He gives to us so many undeniable proofs of His faithfulness, of His goodness, of His grace in people's lives. Was He not faithful in the stories of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob? Not just the stories, but in the lives of these men. He provided for them. He helped them. He brought Abraham out of a land of darkness and brought him into a land where He said, I will give you this land, and He surely did. He was faithful to Abraham when what? Whenever he offered up his son Isaac, and about the time that he lifted up the dagger to bring it down, God provided a ram. He was faithful to Jacob, and whenever his father-in-law changed his wages, He was faithful to Israel when Balaam tried to bring a word of cursing on Israel in Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19. Every single time Balaam tried to do it, every single time he tried to do it, what happened? He brought not cursing, but what? Blessing. Blessing. God is faithful. He multiplied them in Egypt. He delivered them from Egypt. He kept them in the wilderness. He provided for them in the promised land. I'll tell you, one of the greatest examples of God's faithfulness is the Jewish nation. That God kept them. God preserved them all the way through all of those things, through those times. People that were hated, despised, that were rejected, that nobody wanted around. People that they tried to destroy and annihilate, and yet God was faithful. He was faithful to Ruth and Naomi. He was faithful to Hannah. He was giving her a son Samuel. He was faithful to David in protecting him from Saul. He was faithful to Abigail and giving to her a husband. He was faithful to Solomon and to Hezekiah. His faithfulness continued on into people in the New Testament like Simeon and Anna, who the Bible tells us there that they had waited for the coming of the Messiah, and they had been revealed to them that He would show them the Messiah. And what did God do? Just in his infancy, He brought to them. There he was. There he was, just a few days old. And Simeon said these faithful words. He said, I've seen the Lord. He said, I can pass away now. I can go on. It's over with. He was faithful to the apostles. He was faithful to disciples. He was faithful to Paul and Silas. And He was faithful to us to send His Son to die on the cross for our sins. Go over to John chapter 1 and verse number 17. John chapter number 1 in verse number 17. In John's prologue here, he lets us know several interesting facts about Jesus Christ and several different things, but listen what it says about Jesus Christ. He speaks about the law. First of all, in the first part of the verse, he says in verse number 17 of John, he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I tell you what, my friend, God sent to us grace. He sent to us truth, and He sent Him in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. He was faithful. He promised. He has promised that He would send Him. He promised that He would bring Him to Him. And what does He do? He does exactly like He said He would do. I tell you, God has been faithful to me. And there's been some that just gave some testimonies, three or four men that raised their hand, gave some testimonies. God has been faithful to them. And there's a whole host of people that are out there that are God's children that you know they can testify and say, you know what? God has been faithful. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. I think that's pretty much established. Who is faithful? God is. But who knows His faithfulness? It is those He has called. God has been faithful to those who have been called by Him and found Him faithful. That is not to say that God is not faithful and God is not good to the daily operations of mankind. He sends the rain upon what? The just and the unjust, doesn't He not? God is faithful to give the man that's saved and the man that's unsaved. He's faithful to give him breath and rain and nourishment and life. Did you know that's one of the key things that even Romans teaches us? That for the unsaved person, that they should understand and believe that there is a God because God has actually been good to them. His goodness has been upon them, and they can see that goodness. One of the things that tears me up, and that one of the things that I hate about evolution, is it completely destroys God, and it tries to make man think that he was created from some little primordial slime pit, and there has not been a God in the universe, and so therefore there's no reason to give glory to God whatsoever, because you know what? There is no God whatsoever. But the next time you talk to an atheist that believes that nonsense, that foolishness, and it is a belief, amen? It is a religion. It's not a factual principle that's ever been founded out whatsoever. They spent millions and millions and millions of dollars just a few years ago to try to prove the facts of evolution, and guess what? It came to naught. It came to nothing. Because it's not. It is false science. Or as the Bible likes to call it, science falsely so-called. The next time you speak to an atheist, you ask him this question: when did you stop believing in God? They say, what do you mean? I say, when was the last time that you made a conscious decision to stop believing in God? You had to make that choice. You had to make that decision. Because you see, the Bible lets us know that every person has a conscience. And the heavens declare the glory of what? Man? Oh no. God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. The Bible lets us know that even from the things that are in creation, that man can see there is a God. So God's been faithful to man, whether he has trusted him or whether he has not. God has been faithful and he's been good to man, whether he has let him know, whether he has been faithful to him or not. But how are you called? You know how you were called. It tells us right there in 2 Thessalonians. You're in 1 Thessalonians. Maybe you're in John. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're in 1 Thessalonians. You could go back one page. And you could go over to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse number 14. He says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. How were you called? How did you get to the place that you trusted God, that you knew he was faithful, that you knew he could be trusted? Well, I'll tell you, it's because he called you. Amen? Hey, you were never faithful to God first. Amen? God was faithful to you. God showed you the way. God showed you the gospel. And how did he call you? It says it there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14. He says, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Our gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our calling of God is through the gospel. That powerful message that the Bible says is the power of God unto salvation. To them that believe, to them that trust God, that can find him faithful. Have you ever called out to God? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you seen that there is a God? Have you noticed that? Have you seen in the world that is around you that there is a God? But more than that, have you seen that there is a God that loves you? He cares for you. Even though you've spurned him, you've gone against him, you've sinned against him, even though you're an enemy of the cross and of Christ, even though you're a wretched sinner, the Bible lets us know, for there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. Even though you're in the terrible plight that you're in, do you understand? Have you ever understood? Have you ever seen? Has it ever been revealed to your heart and to your mind that God loves you and that God cares for you? And that even though you're a sinner, that even though you deserve the dregs of hell, even though you deserve to be in the pits of hell, that God Almighty in his grace, the Bible says, he sent his Son by grace and truth. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you, my friend. For those that will believe. Will you continue to sit there and spurn his name? To continue to sit there and mock him? To continue to sit there and say, you know what, I'll keep living my life. I'll keep doing what I want to do. Then fine, you can go ahead and have it. But the outcome is not going to be very pretty. This gospel is being preached to you today, my friend. But has he called you? Have you been saved? Are you a believer in Christ Jesus? Are you born again by the Spirit of God and His Word? The Bible teaches us over in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 30. What does He call us to? You are called by His gospel. What does He call us to afterwards? It says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them also He called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Praise God, when God called us, when God saved us, when we were born again, my friend, the Bible lets us know that He has called us to a justified life. We have not been justified by our own righteousness, by our own good, what we have done, but praise God, we've been justified by God's goodness, God's righteousness, not our own. Who hath saved us? 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling? Not according to our works, amen, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He has not only called us to a justified life, He called us to a sanctified life, to live holy before God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Do you realize, Christian, that one thing that God has called you to is to live a sanctified, holy life? That's what God's called you to. That's what God has brought you here for. He's brought you out of the bonds of wickedness and ungodliness so that you would live righteously and holy before an almighty God. I don't see where any Christian can get the idea that they can just kind of sin and smirk at it. They can just kind of do what they want to do. They can disobey God, they can defy God, they can go against His commandments, they can do whatever they want to do and still just think that they're having a hunky-dory Christian life. And my friend, that's not what the Bible lets us know. If you're saved, you've been called to be sanctified, to be set apart. You don't live like the world anymore. You don't talk like the world, you don't dress like the world, you don't act like the world anymore, because guess what? You've been saved, you've been set apart, you've been sanctified. That's what God's called you to. He is faithful. He says to them, He says, who calleth you to sanctification. But not only to sanctification, but even unto glorification. He's called us to an eternal life, the Bible lets us know. A life that never ends, that's continuously filled with the glory and the holiness of God. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know what God's just preparing us for in our sanctified holy life right now that we're living for Christ? He's just preparing us for eternity. That's all it is. That's all it is. We're preparing us for eternity one day. You say, well, I'll get perfect when I get to eternity. That ought not to be the Christian's attitude. That ought to be a believer's attitude. That ought to be his ways, his thoughts. In fact, I would even be very close in saying that that shouldn't be and that would not be your thought in your heart. He's called us through His gospel. His gospel has called us to live justified, have a justified, sanctified, and glorified life. But His faithfulness. Has not God been faithful to us? Let me ask you, has not God been faithful to you to justify you? To be declared righteous? I love that word, justified. It's a legal term. That when somebody was brought into the court of law, they were justified. They were declared righteous. The gavel went down and they were declared righteous, but not, interestingly enough, by what they had done. But the debt was forgiven by someone else. Praise God, the debt's been forgiven, not by what I have done. You see, my credit cards were maxed out with sin. There was no way for me to pay. But Jesus Christ paid the debt that I could not pay with His own righteousness and His blood atonement upon the cross of Calvary. You know something about that? Has he not been faithful to give you the hope of eternal life? Going back to the statement where I said earlier that it's impossible for God to lie, it's over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 17 where it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You know, one of the great things of a believer that God has been proving his faithfulness to us is that we have a hope of eternal life. That we have a hope that when we die in this world, that will be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That there's no lingering time, there's no purgatory, there's no little soul sleep or anything like that. No, my friend, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then one day the dead in Christ shall rise, and even our own bodies, which are corrupt and ungodly, shall be made, the Bible says, shall be made incorruptible. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we will live with God bodily forever, forever, and forever. That's the hope that we have in Christ. Amen. And some of us here today, maybe peradventure, perhaps that some of us may not even go by the way of the grave, that maybe God would take us up, take us out. And the great catching away would happen for us, my friend. Praise God, we have these hopes that have been laid before us, that have been set before us. And God is faithful. And God is faithful here too, my friend. Understand this, that if God has promised and he just told us that if he came the first time, and he did, will he come a second time? The prophecies outweigh them by far. How many times it tells us that he will come the second time? It's outweighed by far, nearly doubled, I think, or maybe tripled, I cannot remember. But it is outweighed by far how many times it tells us that he will come the second time other than telling us he will come the first time. He will come again in all of his glory. And nothing shall stop him at his second coming. No man, no woman, no person will be able, no army. The armies will stand against him, my friend. They'll fire their missiles at him. They'll be trying to defend him, to defy him, and to kill him. But I'll tell you this, he'll speak the word. And as Zechariah says, their eyeballs shall melt in their head and their tongues shall melt in their mouths. God is faithful, my friend. Even to the very end, he will be faithful. Even at the very end, whenever the Satan is allowed to be released, that one and final time for that great battle, the Bible says that he'll speak the word and fire will come down from heaven and consume the host of them. So don't think that you, my friend, sitting here today, think, well, I'll get by. I'll sneak by God. There's nobody that will sneak by God. God sees you all. His eye is on you. He knows you. Oh, as a believer, that should bring comfort. Amen. But I warn you, as an unbeliever, that should bring great fear and trembling to know that God sees every single move that you've ever made, every lie you ever told, every lustful thought you've ever had. God is faithful. God is faithful. And has he not even solidified these things to us? Let me ask you this, believer, has he ever left you? Has he ever forsaken you? Have you yet seen the righteous begging bread? Have you ever experienced the way of escape in temptation? Amen? Ever had temptation come on you and you say, how do I get out of here? And God says, here's the way. Here's the way. Go, run, get out of here. Have you not all known the peace of God in hard times? The peace, as the Bible says, passes all understanding. These are things of God's what? Faithfulness. This is God being faithful to us. Have we not all known the trials of life that once they were keeping us down, but as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, that now we can have great joy, the Bible says, in trials and in troubles and in tribulations and distresses and weaknesses and in infirmities. God can give us even great joy in these things. I believe it was Amy Carmichael who for the last 14 years of her life, she thought she would be a missionary in India the rest of her days and thought she could just maybe minister to children. She had started some orphanages, but right in the peak of her ministry, do you know what happened to Amy Carmichael? She was immediately put down with illness and bedridden for the last 14 years of her life. Unable to manage the orphanages, unable to help with the children, unable to see those precious little souls saved. But you know what God did with Amy Carmichael in those last 14 years of her life? He didn't use her mouth. He didn't use her legs. He didn't use her eyes or her ears. He used her faithful hand to write many a books to encourage many Christians. And she found great joy and pleasure in what God had placed her in. You see, sometimes God's faithfulness is not always quite apparent to us as when we have fleshly eyes. But when God in His grace begins to change our hearts and let us see with spiritual eyes, we see, oh, that's the reason. And I'll even tell you this, there might be some things in your life and your heart right now that you'll maybe never understand. Say, oh, I'll understand them when I get to heaven. I don't even guarantee you that, my friend. I don't have a guarantee on that. I have a guarantee on this, though. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Well, you mean I won't know all the answers to life's questions when I get to heaven? I don't think we will. That's for God to know. That's for God to be trusted in. And that's for God to be faithful to us in. For us to simply relinquish and say, God, You're in control. I relinquish control. Have we not all experienced the grace of God? I'll tell you this. Have you not all experienced it by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost whenever you've done wrong? You see, it got quiet in here, didn't it? Because you know why? Because if you're saved and you do wrong, the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God like a dagger into your heart to convict you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and to tell you you've done wrong. You've broken the fellowship. And you do as the Bible teaches us, go to God. Ask Him to confess your sins and you'll be what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even as one brother said here just a moment ago, has he not been proven to be faithful? Time and time and time again with our financial needs, spiritual needs, even for some of us, emotional needs. And have we not all even seen the hand of God's faithfulness even when we did not deserve it? Perhaps that is one of the most awesome times. When you look at, see some of the ways that God has been faithful to you, God has been good to you, God has been awesome to you, and you look at that and you say, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve that. You know what? You've got a right perspective. Because you know what? You don't deserve anything. You don't deserve anything. You don't deserve the two legs that you got to go to work every single day. The brain that God had given you to be able to function normally in a society. You don't deserve any of it. And when it all boils down, what happens is this, is that you can see every aspect of your life, every bit of goodness, every bit of righteousness, every bit of faithfulness, every bit of the things that are coming upon your life, every blessing, everything is not of your own power. It was not of your own goodness, but yet it was of God's great faithfulness in your life and in your heart. Your children, your job, your finances, your clothes, your cars, your whatever it is. And praise God, the most important thing, your salvation is found in God. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will plainly, simply do it. He will do it. Has God called you? Then He will do it.
Trust him. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Father, we come to you this morning.